Education Committee to order at 8:03. We have three members present, Senator Huggins, Senator Stevens, and myself, Betty Davis. We have one bill to come before us today. The plan is to just take public testimony, if there's any, after the overview is given of the bill. And it's not a bill that we plan to move out anyway today, so we'll take the testimony and any comments or suggestions that members might have on the bill that's going to be presented. And it's going to be presented by one of my aides, Mr. Overmeyer.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Tom Overmeyer, aide to Senator Davis. The bill before us is Senate Bill 101. It's an act relating to questionnaires and surveys administered in the public schools. SB 101 will provide for more participation, student participation in school questionnaires and surveys administered or required by the Alaska School Districts and the Department of Education and Early Development, while at the same time constitutionally protecting the privacy rights of parents and students and also complying with Federal Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment under the USC Section 1322, Title 20. With the exception of anonymous youth risk behavior survey noted in the new subsection G of this bill, Title 1403110, which has been administered biennially since 1991 by the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, SB 101 provides that a school district may not administer a survey, anonymous or not, that inquires into personal or private family matters of a student, not a matter of public record or subject to public observation, unless written permission is first obtained from the student's parent or legal guardian. SB 101 provides in AS 1403110E that a student may still refuse to answer specific questions or to participate in the survey. And that is another change. SB 101 changes subsection E by requiring that the parents who do not want their children to participate must opt out or actively dissent to participation with written denial of permission submitted to the teacher or principal. SB 101 effectively changes parental consent and anonymous surveys from active to passive, that is implied consent without written objection. However, notice is still required and permission for anonymous surveys can be obtained by the school districts annually under unchanged provisions of Section B, which is not in this particular bill. There are Sections B and C that relate to the two-week requirement and annual consent. The two-week notice requirements under AS 1403B and C remain unchanged, as I note, but revised subsection D under 101, Senate Bill 101, requires more information in the notice than current provisions in recognition of the need for more attention to constitutional due process in matters of student privacy. Changes require more information about the nature and content of the survey, the date, sponsor, school districts, and opportunity to refuse by participation in a questionnaire or survey. Changes under Senate Bill 101 comport with the original legislative intent of the school survey statute before it was changed in 1999. The current statute, which requires active parental consent for youth to participate in anonymous school surveys, requires that parents must acknowledge both permission and denial in writing. SB 101 requires that parents only deny permission in writing to anonymous surveys. Surveys which are not anonymous or that delve into personal private matters still require parental consent or permission for students to participate, with the exception, as noted in the very first line, regarding in the youth risk survey in subsection G, which is the new section at the end of this bill. It has been found that active parental consent overburdens the public school system and drastically increases the cost and labor involved in the student surveys. These are the statutory reasons for the change. More active consent greatly reduces overall participation by students because many parents simply are non-responsive. While studies have found the vast majority of parents would consent to students participating in school surveys, non-response is more often due to apathy, oversight, and student omission or error rather than parental consent. Many districts are unable to use the data they collect because there are not enough participants for statistical validation. Some surveys, such as the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, cannot be validated unless with less than 60% participation, as occurred in Alaska in 2005. Lack of participation may also reduce federal funding. School surveys provide reliable and valuable measures of population-based information on youth, which help policymakers, educators, program planners, and parents better understand health and social issues that affect students' prospects for program success. Standardized surveys, such as the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, track trends over time and help guide and evaluate important health and prevention programs. State and federal grant programs, which rely on these surveys, include tobacco prevention, control, obesity prevention, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke, safe and drug-free schools, and other substance abuse prevention, injury prevention, including violence and suicide prevention, HIV and STD prevention, and more. And finally, I would note that we have position statements that should be in your packets, I hope, from the Association of Alaska School Boards in support of this bill, and I hope that we hear from other participants and online. Thank you.
Are there any questions or comment from the committee? Do we have anybody signed up to testify on this particular bill? Okay, we'll start in-house here then. Would you come forward and state your name and who you're affiliated with?
Thank you for allowing us to testify. My name is Steve Warren. I'm from Sitka, and I'd like to testify in favor of this. I've been involved with helping to promote the YRBS from the tobacco standpoint in Sitka, but I also have been involved in substance abuse treatment in Sitka, and I've found that many times the suppositions of the adults in a community don't match up with what the YRBS ends up revealing to us. And the metaphor that I would give is that we're firing our dollars for prevention off into a hillside, supposing there might be a problem there, when we're standing right behind us, if we only turn the scope of a good survey on the issue, we see what drugs and sex and other things that are happening that we really didn't have the wit to ask the right questions. And so to ask those in a way that is non-threatening to the kids and to their parents is really a wise thing, because we have a diminishing pot of money to help treat these issues with. It's really, really important that we have a good idea of what the problem is that we're trying to aim those limited dollars at. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you very much. Any questions? All right. Is there anyone else in the audience that want to testify? Come up, please.
Good morning. My name's Laura Muller, and I live in Anchorage. I am so excited to be able to talk to you about this, because this is something that it's been concerning me for a really long time. I work with youth groups. I work with youth programming, and these anonymous-based surveys are basically what we can tell what kind of job we're doing. So we get money. I work for the Lung Association, but I'm here as a volunteer for the Cancer Society. We get money from donors. We get money from the state, and we have to know that we're using those funds to the best interest of the kids and for the best interest that the money can use. And it's been a really big concern, because it's a national survey. The YRBS specifically is a national survey. So if you're going to compete for CDC grants or whatever, that's the information they're looking for. And I looked it up online last night, and I was only able to find three other states that use active consent for the YRBS. We're among the minority. I actually personally took the YRBS when I was in high school, and I can definitely say when my generation is far less sophisticated than this current generation, where I think it's kind of head in the sand to think that kids are not going to think about sex or suicide or eating their vegetables because they read about it on a survey. And the reason why it seems kind of absurd to me is that values are very important to my family. In fact, we sent our kids to Catholic school for many years. And at Catholic school, they actually use passive consent. for things. So if they're going to have a sexual assault training, they send passive consent to the parents because they know that active parents are going to be paying attention and can opt out if they choose to do so. So if you're still giving that valve for parents who are concerned and they have it, this data is so important that we have to have it. It makes me think of, I've heard people say, well, why would you, you know, do this in school? Schools are supposed to be about education. And I remember hearing a quote that a bank robber once said. He said, why do you rob banks? It's where the money is. Well, schools are where the kids are. And people who are actively involved with kids know that they are not silly people. They are not unsophisticated. And if we really want to see to their needs rather than to make us feel more comfortable by not broaching issues, we really have to get at that information. And I just thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you about it.
Thank you so much. Yes, Senator Huggin, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Laura, and thanks for coming this way to testify. You said three other states. Do you recall which three states they are?
Utah, Nevada, and I think it was North Dakota.
And we can get
but it was internet search. It was a lot easier to find passive consent states than it was active consent states because it's not the norm for what happens. And since it's a CDC-based instrument, people are inclined to use it.
Yeah. I'll just say flippantly, we always say we're different. But
we don't want to be different in that way.
I know.
Thanks. Any other questions or comments? Is there anyone else in the audience that want to testify on this bill? Is there anybody on off-net? Apparently not. I guess at this time we can close the public testimony, and I'll leave it open for members that are present. If you have any comments to be made, I'll just make one basic statement that the only changes that's been made in this particular section of the bill is to make sure that we can be able to give that youth survey that's from CDC because we don't have enough participation in it, and it's been causing us some troubles. But if you have any concerns or comments you want to make at this time, I do not plan to move the bill out of the committee at this time, but I'll be willing to hear any statements that you want to make.
Say that again.
I don't plan to move it.
Right. I do have a couple of questions, Madam Chair. In Section 3, ECHO, it talks about any specific questions or participate in the questionnaire. So it sounds like that the student can either not answer a question or they don't have to take the survey. They have those two choices at the time of the survey, no matter what transpires as far as yes or no by the parents. I just like to make sure that my interpretation of that is correct.
Do you want to speak to that, Tom? I don't know if we have the drafter online. I think your interpretation is right, but I would not want to say that.
Let me ask if Jean Michelle is available. Is she online? I guess not. Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I believe your interpretation is correct. The previous language that you'll notice that was unchanged said a student may refuse to participate in a questionnaire or survey, and now we said they can refuse to answer specific questions or to participate. So it gives them a chance to participate in a survey they have some doubts about. Let's say that it is the youth behavior survey, and they just feel uncomfortable about that question, they can just continue with the survey, participate, be counted, and still not answer specific questions. And I think that's one of the reasons that it was crafted in this way. But it would imply also that they could refuse to answer questions or participate in any survey, and which is independent of the parental guidelines on that. If the parent had said it's okay for them to take a survey, and they look at this and say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And then finally, in the same subsection, we do ask that the written denial of permission be submitted to either the teacher or the principal. We just said in the past that they may refuse, but we want something in writing to go back to the school if they're opting in quotes. I don't want to get into the semantics of opting in and or opting out, but if they wish to opt out.
When you say they, is that the student that opts out? You said they.
Well, the sentence begins with the student's parent or legal guardian may refuse by submitting to the teacher or principal a written denial.
But if the student decides not to take the questionnaire, they don't have to write anything down other than saying, I'm not going to do this. I'm just trying to make sure that what I'm reading is correct, my interpretation.
No, I think this is specific to, as I would read it, specific to the legal guardian or parent, but the student may independently, once they're faced with a survey, sitting in the schoolroom, refuse to answer questions or participate.
Right.
So there's...
Which doesn't require any sort of notice other than I'm just saying they don't do it.
They won't do it, right.
Okay.
You may continue.
Yeah, Madam Chair. And the other one, I would like to see at least some data on some school districts about, you know, how prevalent the challenge is in different school districts about who, and the present rules, who does or does not take the test and how many people do or do not respond parentally, just so we understand.
You know, are you referring strictly to the CDC test that's given, the survey that's given?
I'm talking about anything that requires a parental response, but specifically leading with the Youth Risk Behavior Survey.
We could get that on that because most states participate in it, and as she stated...
I'm just talking about state of Alaska. I don't care about the other states. That's her business.
Yeah, but you said, you mean, what are you referring to then? Are you talking about the entire state?
What I'm saying, I want to know about MATSU. I'll take Anchorage and other school districts.
As far as they take the test or not? Right.
Yeah. No. The statistics about how many people do or do not based on the lack of...
Oh, that's simpler to get. I think maybe there might be somebody here in the audience that could speak to that because... I wouldn't be able to answer, but we could get those questions.
Yeah,
but that test is given state. The survey is given statewide.
What precisely? And that's why that I asked.
Would you have Eddie Jeans come up, please? Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
By the way, we do have Jean Michelle online if we need to have her. Thank you very much, Eddie. Would you state your name? And
for the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Madam Chair, I do not have those statistics with me, but I know that we can get them very easily, and I'd be more than happy to get them to your office and Senator Huggins by this afternoon.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
and we do have Jean Michelle on the phone also.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just my motivation is when somebody asks me a question, I like to be able to answer the question with some specifics about what the data does or does not say.
Oh, I have no problem.
Well, I don't
with that.
Understand. Right. I mean, that's my motivation.
Right. Be happy to get it to you this afternoon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair.
It's not necessary that we have it this afternoon, but we do need it. Yes.
Well, Madam Chair, well, we have Eddie here. Could you just tell us again, I'm sure you have before, but how we're protecting a child's rights to anonymity so that something they do, they write, or they answer on a questionnaire is not going to be followed up with them individually. How can we be sure that a kid is that questionnaire is not going to be used against them?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I wish I could give you the straight answer on that one, but I don't have it. I do know that those surveys are confidential, that they don't identify the specific student, but I would have to get more information for you on that. And I know that our people at the department have that. So I'll have that this afternoon as well.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the department is supportive of returning to a passive permission for the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, though.
All
I do
right,
want
you
to know that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Anybody from the audience want to speak one last time? If not, I'm going to close the testimony, and I'm going to also say that we have no other business to come before us. Is that correct? Any other? Okay, we will adjourn.